So the first arrival was David David. My next ancestor was Daniel, who was, I think he died in 1773. His son was Moses, my ancestor who married Judith. Moses was the brother of Daniel Mendoza the Boxer's father, who was Abraham. And another brother, Daniel, was the father of Daniel Mendoza's wife, Esther. And then onwards to Mordecai, and then to Israel, and Abraham, and then to another Mordecai, who was my grandfather. And my grandfather married Fanny de Vries, who died in 1903, and she is buried in the Bet Chaim Novo Cemetery in London. And they had four children, and my father was one of those. His elder brother was Alfred, then there was Maury and Queenie. And then my grandfather married again after my grandmother died, and he married Hannah Lazarus. We called her Auntie Annie. And they had three children, Bessie, Aggie, and Shirley, who was called Girlie. And I think that's where my name came from. My father never talked about his childhood at all. And so we knew nothing at all about his childhood. When I started looking at censuses, the 1901 census, he was there. And then it wasn't till the 1911 census came out that, to my absolute shock and horror, I found that he was listed as living in an institution, in an orphanage, in 1911, he and his brother. And there were a lot of records. I went to the archives. It was the Lauderdale Road archivist who gave me permission to go and look at the records, which are all in the Metropolitan Archive. And it was searching through those, I found the letter, the interview that he had to go through at age 7 years old to be given entry into the orphanage, and his misdemeanors while he was in the orphanage. And his brother as well was always in a lot of trouble. And so that was a total revelation to the family. With a group of friends, they apparently stole some sweets. And he was there till he was 12 years old. Once they were bar mitzvah at 13, they were apprenticed into various sort of industries, jobs, whatever. He was apprenticed into a furrier. So, yes, so when they stole the sweets, he must have just been on the point of leaving the orphanage because they confiscated his suit.
In England, if I feel comfortable, and how do I feel here? In fact, the best thing in England is that you can express yourself and nobody censors you. Because in Turkey, well, then when I got married, I lived in Turkey for about for 40 years. And then we came to England. So because of the government of Erdogan, and for some time we had a problem of expressing ourselves and telling what we want to do. In fact, I even had an exhibition called Do Not Eat Me. That was just after the Gezi situation. So and finally, I had a stomach pain all the time in Turkey. And I said to Ralph, we have to go. And because our children are, my son is in London, my daughter is in, she was in London too, then she went to Paris. So I said, we're leaving, we go to London. And so I think English people are very, they accept people of different countries, and then you can tell what you think. Nobody's telling you, oh, what are you doing? You're free to do what you want. And then the culture is very important. The museums, and you can go, you have something happening every time, every minute in London. I mean, of course, now we are at home, but that's very important. I mean, you just, you wake up and you feel you have to go, you want to go to an exhibition, you just go and study things and come back. So this is also nice. And I like English people because they are very, they are free. And I mean, they feel free, and they, and then you also feel free.
The fact is, the Baghdadis, when they came, they decided, they were pragmatic. The British are, you know, they own the world, really, the empire, and you identify with the British, and that was a very good move because they'd get a security and also lots of privileges. So they distanced themselves from the Bnei Israel. So they had all the benefits of being under the British umbrella and, you know, supporting that. So when, in 1947, India got its independence, these people had so identified with the British, you see them, they dressed like them, the curricula in school were all absolutely British, English history, I mean, poetry, literature, it didn't do anything Indian. And then, 1947, there was a swing of the pendulum. Many, many Baghdadi Jews left India because they were working in British firms, etc. They didn't know how they would get on in the India. There was no anti-Semitism, none of that. But nationalism became very rife sort of thing. And why did they leave? The prospects in England seemed better. The fact of the matter is my parents decided they didn't want this Indian culture for us. They were very, very, very worried about Abu Dazara, you know, that you'd see idols and everything all over the place. They just were unhappy with that sort of thing. And as I say, we were brought up with a very British education. It was seamless coming here into Britain. And apart from the fact that most of the community had come before I'd come, I'd done my first degree in Calcutta in English. We had a ready-made community by that time, and it was fine. We had our own house. My sister had set up house for my elder sister I've got two sisters that set up house in Temple Fortune, an apartment in Temple Fortune, Hallswell Road. And then my elder sister, the real pioneer, she bought the house across the road here, Holmdale Gardens. And then my husband, who I had met in India, we lived on the same street, but he was studying engineering and he was working in engineer in England. He was already here. We got married within a year of me coming, and my family, my mother and father and my younger sister came.
When I was learning to make guitars, I worked in a supermarket as, you know, broken eggs, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, I didn't get on so well with the white workers. They didn't, because I was a bit of a odd one. Because I wasn't with the whites. The only people that I could speak to, and they kind of were happy to speak to me, were all the Indian ladies. So I would ask them, how do you do biryani? How do you do this? So they'll give me the whole list, and they'll show me, you go to this shop. So slowly I found all the things, and so that's how I learned. All my Indian comes from a supermarket called International in 1980 in North Finchley. You see, I mean, well, what happened was, I didn't want to be in the supermarket. I mean, I'd rather be in the studio working, but I had to find some money. So I knew that I was to be in the supermarket, let's say, 8 hours. So I was happy to do everything they gave me to keep busy, because I didn't want to sit down. And the manager really was an Irish guy. He really adored me. So he would come downstairs at 3 o'clock instead of 5 and say, "You can go home now," you know. Or he'd say, "This cheese, you can get a special deal on this cheese," you know. He'd give me all these perks. And I was his darling after a while, because I was really working my ass off for him. But I didn't care. But the whites, none, because I was, because almost felt as if like I'm below them, you know what I'm saying? You know, like they looked me even below the cashiers, you know. I was the one that clears the egg, but I've learnt a lot. I've learnt a lot now, because you, when you're unseen, you see a lot, because I was unseen.